Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 81st episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you are joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this important information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We are here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. I do apologize that for the last 2 weeks, for those loyal listeners who tune in every week, I had some unavoidable problems, first of all with technology, and then second of all with a conflict in my schedule, and I was not able to do my normal radio broadcast. I appreciate you tuning back in and coming back in and working with me this week. I did have a special guest scheduled for today. Her name was Amina Aitsemal. She was a doctor from the UK and has a PhD in obesity. I have sent her information, and hopefully she can get on the call. She keeps popping into a list of callers and then popping back out again. She may be having some problems since it is an international call. At any rate, I do appreciate her being willing to come on the show, and we do have a bunch of good questions for her. So are you there with us, Amina? Are you here with us, Amina?
Hello?
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for working through all the technology problems we've had today and getting online.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure.
I was just getting ready to introduce you. I don't know if you heard or not, but I talked about you are a medical doctor from Cambridge University in the UK, and she has a PhD on obesity. She's an international public health expert, but she currently focuses on her transformational coaching work with very high achievers. You can find out more about signing up with her as a coach on her Wise Wednesdays newsletter, which is on her website, drAmina.com. She's also, for my listeners, thank you for doing this, offering a free one-hour career coaching session as a gift to my listeners who might be feeling stuck in this area. So I'd like to welcome her, but first of all, I begin each show with a quote. And I'm going to begin because you do coaching and you understand a lot of these things, even though it has to do with weight loss, and it sounds like you're coaching with career. The quote is, "Losing weight is a mind game. Change your mind, change your body." And I would even add, change your mind, change your life. So yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm really good, thank you. I've had a good day, I'm happy to say. And
thank you so much.
Oh, I just want to say I completely agree. Starts with the mind. It starts with your mindset, and then, you know, go from there.
Yes, and some of us have a lot of problems changing our mindset. So I'd like to just begin our conversation today with asking you, how is what you do different than other coaches? I know that coaching has been around for quite a while, but it's really increasing in popularity. But you focus on high achievers. So how is what you do different than other coaches for high-achieving people?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So I looked around at what kind of work was being done for high achievers to support them in making career decisions or decisions around the wider life. And what I noticed is that what I had to offer was what I represented to people who would identify as high achievers. So I consider myself to have been on maybe the overachiever path, kind of accumulating a lot of qualifications. I'm a medical doctor from a prestigious university, a master's, a PhD, a bunch of professional qualifications, and doing really interesting jobs and just being on a kind of track and jumping through hoops. So I think people, you know, they identify or they feel that you might understand them if they feel you've had a similar journey or had similar struggles. And another thing is that I think I'm in a slightly younger age range than from a lot of coaches who work with high achievers. So I think I bring in those two elements that are supportive in the work.
But you'd have so how does what you do help people reduce stress? I'm fascinated because you've got a degree, a medical degree, correct? Mm-hmm. And then you also have a PhD. And I have a PhD in energy therapy, so I know how much work the PhD is, but a medical doctor, that's a tremendous amount of work. So from your beautiful, vast background, how does what you do help people reduce stress?
So I think coaching in general helps people to ask themselves questions that they would normally either not have time to do, or they don't have the courage to do it, or they just don't know how to do it. So as a general rule, I think coaching is great for those reasons because it helps that process of self-inquiry. Specifically, what I tend to focus on is trying to reconnect people who are highly intellectual. There's a lot in their mind, and society has rewarded them for using their minds and their intellectual capacities. Just allow them to invest mostly in that. So reconnecting them with their intuition, which then helps them make decisions that they really want to make rather than decisions that they receive societal approval for, let's say, in their work. So, and that happens through work with the emotions, which, again, as an energy therapist, I'm sure is very familiar to you. That's the general principle, really. Does that answer your question?
How do you define stress? And then we'll talk a little bit about intuition. But how do you define stress?
Stress. I guess it would be a mismatch between your version of reality and the external reality. So how you think things should be and how you perceive them to actually be. And then I think that produces potentially an adaptation response, and then it could be a healthy adaptation or an unhealthy adaptation. And hopefully through using the right methods, then people can be led to the healthier adaptations, whether it's a change in their perception or a change in their circumstances.
Wonderful, because my listeners, we've talked a lot about stress, and Hans Selye, who's kind of the primary researcher with stress, defines stress as the adaptive demand placed on an organism. So when you talk about there's this dissonance or this disconnect between what they want and what is actually happening, that is actually a demand for change or an adaptive demand. So I appreciate what you said about the adaptive response. It's either healthy or not healthy, or beneficial or not beneficial, or those types of things. And then you mentioned in the answer to one of the earlier questions, intuition. Tell me a little bit about what intuition is and how you help a person identify intuition and work with their intuition.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we could talk about this for hours. I think your work is very interesting. And I can sense there's a lot more that could be had in the conversation. So I think there are different definitions. Mine, my personal one would be, it's a felt sense of your own truth, of what you feel is true. Whether it's that this is your experience, or this is your, maybe I'll just keep it short. So I would say it's a felt sense of your own truth. And then that, once you connect with that, it can guide you in terms of your decision making.
So would you agree that if you are not following your intuition, that felt sense, or your own truth, you can be creating a lot of stress that keeps you from achieving what you would like to achieve?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that it takes a lot of energy to fight your own intuition or to suppress it.
Yeah, just by the simple dynamic of you have a felt sense and an intuitive hit, if we go back to the adaptive demand, and you're not following it, you are in reality creating a lot of stress in your life.
Yeah, I'm sure you know a lot more about it than me, I was having a conversation with someone earlier today, actually, about how important it was to listen to one's own intuition, even if we can't act on it immediately, just to accept that this is my truth. This is how I see it. This is what I feel about it. These are my thoughts about it. And then work with whatever the circumstances might be, but not suppress one's own intuition and take on an external opinion. Say, well, yeah, I think this, but this person said that they're probably right. So that to me would be an unhealthy adaptation.
Yes, absolutely. So we are going to take a short break with a commercial. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we're going to find out how you came into this work and how you work with the client, in a coaching aspect. So we'll be right back in 1 minute.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress. Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life and...
Okay, and we're back. Somehow or another, the commercial cut off a little early. So we are talking about so many wonderful things with Dr. Etzemelmi. How do you pronounce your last name? Let me get that correct.
It's Etzemelmi, but please call me Amina.
Amina. Okay.
It means trustworthy,
okay.
By the way.
So how did you come into this work, Amina? What drew you in?
So I was working in international health, and I'd had this career that I'd planned out from medical school, and it worked out pretty nicely. and then eventually I found that, yeah, I wasn't completely fulfilled. And so when I started taking stock, and I'd always been interested in personal development, but I kind of doubled up in the last few years, getting a lot of personal coaching and reading a lot more, I realized that what I loved to do was actually personal development and coaching. So I was doing this in all my spare time. And, of course, that's always a sign that that's something that you do like to do and maybe you should try and incorporate into your work life. And so, right? Or at least do more. Just through a process of exploration, I came to find out that it was possible to be a coach and to make a living out of it. I'd have to learn to run a business. That became my next phase eventually.
Wonderful. So there are all different types of coaching, and I notice you have focused on high achievers. How do you work with people? How do you identify your ideal client and then work with these high achievers? Because I bet perfectionism comes in quite a bit.
Definitely, definitely. Perfectionism, imposter syndrome, big things. Workaholism, overgiving sometimes. In the medical profession, there's a lot of rescuing going on. So dealing with all of those patterns is part of the work, but I try not to focus so much on the unhealthy adaptations, but try and get people's vision and dream out, help them to express it and believe in it, and use that as a positive pull to start to develop new habits and healthier ways of being so that they feel happier and more fulfilled in their lives. And I work on a one-to-one basis at the moment over a period of time, usually doing work around identity, moving into a more leadership-focused identity, but also one that isn't about striving all the time and feeling overly responsible, but moving into creative flow. And, of course, intuition is very important for that.
Oh, gosh, yes, absolutely. And again, my listeners, because I focus so much on stress, they're familiar with the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight, flight, or freeze. And they understand the parasympathetic nervous system is relaxation, healing. The emotion associated with that is love. But it's also where creativity happens. So if I were to come to you as a client, and I'm a perfectionist so that I'm highly stressed or highly sympathetic, and I might actually be frozen in place because if it's not perfect, I can't bring myself to do it. How would you gently ease me out of that frozen or flight or fright response and the survival and move me into thriving and creativity? How would you work with me on that?
Well, I would probably call you. And in the meantime, I would do my best to try and recommend some relaxation techniques like meditation. But a lot of people who are highly intellectual find that very difficult, so they prefer journaling, which is easier. It is, I think, a form of meditation. because it allows you to see your own thoughts. And any activities that incorporate joy, bring back joy and fun and creativity into their lives, so they reconnect with these emotions and incorporate them and experience them more often than the stressful emotions, or rather the negative emotions. Would you agree with that as an expert on stress?
Absolutely. We've talked quite a bit about meditation and journaling. What kind of journaling do you generally have your clients do? There's several kinds. What do you find to be the most effective?
I try first just to suggest just free kind of the Julia Cameron approach of morning pages, just write whatever's there, but try and make an effort to spill something on the page because it is there whether you realize it or not. And then as they progress, I would and they may already have certain practices, but it's streamlining those practices around gratitude, intention making and visioning, and then reflection around maybe in the evening what went well during the day, what was a challenge and how they dealt with it. So incorporate some reflective practices so they start to see them as something that's a bit more under their control rather than something than feeling completely out of control, like they're a slave to perfectionism or a slave to these thoughts that they have. They're only thoughts. And once they're on the page, I think it helps people to see them that way.
Yes. And these all sound like some very, very powerful techniques. Have you found one to be more effective in moving people quickly into a more creative space than another?
It depends on the person, but Tony Robbins talks about pattern interrupt. So, I mean, just interrupting a thought pattern that they're stuck in a session, for example, hopefully helps them. It has an impact. I do like to recommend exercise of some kind, but it's dangerous with high achievers because it might just be another goal.
I had one client who was using exercise as a punishment for not being perfect. And I had her stop exercising for 2 weeks. And then it was like, when you exercise, think thoughts of gratitude. And in about 3 weeks, she had a whole different experience of exercise. And she came in and said, I didn't know it could help me feel so good. She said, usually after exercising, I felt bad. So, as you hear your clients and listen to them and are present with them, I bet you hear a lot of different stories about how something people think is beneficial may turn out to be not so beneficial.
I think you're right. You have to test different things. And ultimately, they have to connect. There has to be a connect that's made again so that they can trust themselves and trust that it's okay for me to feel good. It's okay for me to let myself relax and know that should be a priority for them, not an afterthought.
I couldn't agree with you more. So what stress management tip or skill can you provide to our listeners that they can do right away? We've talked about several very powerful ones, but what would you recommend for our listeners?
I think meditation is, I live by the, don't take your medication, but take your meditation. So that would be my number one. And my number two is joyfulness. So anything that brings joy, whether and laughter even, I think is great.
And I love laughter. We had a whole show on laughter and the benefits of laughter one time, and it was a great show. So we've only got a couple minutes left in the show. Can you believe that?
Wow. Time flies by.
It's gone by quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So we're coming into what is your favorite success quote?
So I love George Bernard Shaw, which I've got on my website.
Yes.
This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one.
And then what do you do for fun? I mean, if you're working and coaching and you've got these high energy, high perfectionist people, I bet that there are several things that you like to do to just kind of break away from all of that. What are two of your favorite things that you like to do?
Yeah, so I've always loved dancing, and I've explored different forms. So I always do some form of dancing, and then fencing. So those are my two activities at the moment that I really love, and I find they balance out because one is more feminine and earthy and emotional, and the other one is a little bit more sort of masculine and willful.
Is the fencing the masculine one? Yeah. And I always think of swordplay, and then I go into Star Wars, which was based on a form of kendo, which was martial art. So, yeah, I think fencing is just wonderful because you have to get very present for that, don't you?
Yes, actually, you're right. I'm making it sound like it's a kind of a brutal sport, but it's not. It's you're right. You have to cultivate a very sensitive awareness of your state of mind and your level of arousal. It's something I had to learn. You can't be too aroused and out of control from anger or fear, but you can't be too relaxed either, in that you're not going to respond if someone tries to hit you.
I'd like to thank you for coming on today's show. We only have about 40 seconds left. So that's all for today's show. I appreciate you coming on. If you want more information about working with Amina, there will be her website on the blog show information. And I appreciate you joining us each and every week. If you have any questions, you can email us at info@makingshifthappen.com. And Amina, once again, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.
Hello?